Minister Robert Troy, you're very welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me.
You're very welcome.
So to start off, I suppose, we're going to talk a little bit about finance. I suppose it's the top of every business person's mind at the moment, and it is a difficult time to do business, Minister, at the moment. Is there maybe any good news on the horizon for businesses, I suppose, that are finding it particularly hard at the moment, especially maybe those small to medium-sized enterprises?
Well, look, the first thing I'd say is the most recent budget, we saw a very targeted measure for the hospitality sector with a reduction in the VAT from 13.5% to 9%. We know the hospitality sector is enshrined in every community throughout this country, at the small cafe, the pub serving sandwiches, up to the larger hotels that provide good quality employment. And as I said, they're across the region. So that was a very targeted measure, recognising the value of our hospitality sector, but also the role the hospitality sector plays in supporting other businesses in our communities. We also saw earlier this year the relaxation of the lending rules for credit unions. Having worked with the Central Bank of Ireland, the government was pleased to note that the Central Bank have allowed increased lending limits for credit unions, for SMEs and for mortgages. The credit unions are a hugely important financial institution in our communities. They can now lend more for mortgages, and they can now lend more to SMEs. Again, given SMEs that much needed liquidity at a time when they want to grow their business.
Okay, yeah, certainly. And that was very welcome news and great to see as well. Something as well that we saw this summer, Minister, was the government launching a new action plan on insurance reform. And the aim of that, I think, was to tackle costs. And I suppose that's obviously important for businesses as well. Talk us through that action plan, maybe what it involves and what are some of maybe the key areas of focus.
Yeah, you quite rightly said, you know, tackling the high costs of doing business is a key priority for government. And one element of that is the insurance cost. We know that significant progress was made by the previous government under the last action plan on insurance reform, the rebalancing of the duty of care, putting perjury on a statutory basis, introducing the personal injuries guidelines, and enhancing the role of the personal injury resolution board. We want to build on the success of the last action plan, and that's why we published another one in July of this year. We want to introduce greater transparency so people know exactly the reason the cost of their premium is what it is. We want to ensure that we build on the competition. We saw a number of new players coming into the market in the last number of years. We want to grow that even further, and we want to ensure that existing players in the market expand their risk appetite. Greater competition helps drive down costs. And we want to continue to build on the successes of the reforms introduced into the Personal Injuries Resolution Board, because the facts speak to themselves. For a legitimate insurance claim dealt with through the Personal Injuries Resolution Board, the claimant gets, broadly speaking, the same level of compensation. They get it in half the time rather than going through litigation. And the big saving here to the insurance company, which ultimately is the saving passed on to the premium holder, is the legal fees is a fraction of the cost, 1/20th of the cost to have your claim dealt with through the Personal Injuries Resolution Board as comparison to dealing with it through litigation. That's a message that we need to see amplified and promoted. There's no need to go down the legal route to have a legitimate claim solved. That can be done through the Personal Injuries Resolution Board. And we want to expand the remit and the availability of that Personal Injuries Resolution Board going forward also.
Okay. And in terms of the action plan then on the insurance reform, it was launched in July, I think it was. How has it been going since, Minister? Are we seeing those changes that you were hoping it would bring about?
Well, a number of priority actions are being worked on at the moment. As I said, enhancing the role of the Personal Injuries Resolution Board is one priority action under the responsibility of the Minister for Enterprise. Another priority action is in the area of enhanced transparency. We're in the process of working on a transparency code that will require the insurance company to clearly demonstrate how they arrived at the premium that they're charging you. So what element of the premium is profit? What element of it is going towards reserves? What element of it is going towards administrative costs? What element of it is going towards commission paid to a broker? We feel by ensuring that there is a transparency code implemented, it will restrict the availability of the insurance companies to charge inflated premiums, because we have introduced a significant number of reforms. We want to ensure that those reforms are being passed on to the premium holder.
Okay, very interesting. And Minister Troy, I also wanted to talk to you about the Ireland for Finance strategy. Maybe just first of all, before we get into it in a little bit more detail, can you just explain to the listeners exactly what it involves in case anyone isn't familiar with it?
The Ireland for Finance strategy is a whole of government policy proposal in terms of how we support the international financial services sector in Ireland. The IFSC was established back in the 1980s by the then Taoiseach Charles Haughey, and it really has been a very successful policy initiative by government. We have seen substantial job increases over the decades. In fact, in 2015, when the first Ireland for Finance strategy was launched, there was approximately 30,000 people working in this sector. We now have over 65,000 people working in the international financial services sector. That is a clear demonstration that our policy is working and that this is a very important sector to our economy. We have 14 of the 15 largest aircraft leasing companies in the world located in Ireland. We have 20 out of the 25 of the world's top financial services located in Ireland. We have the largest global banks located in Ireland, the largest global insurance companies located in Ireland. And these are providing high quality jobs, not just in Dublin, because one in every four jobs that is supported in the international financial services sector is now located outside of Dublin and located in the region. And I suppose the reason why I was in Kerry last week was to meet with Fexico, an international brand and probably one of the biggest success story from a financial tech company in Ireland, started in the 1980s. With a very small operation, now employing over 2,600 people across 50 countries, with the vast majority of those jobs being located in County Kerry. It was a huge opportunity for me and officials within my department to be able to sit down with the senior management team of Fexco to look at what they see as the challenges on the horizon, and more importantly, what they see as the opportunities on the horizon, and what policy we need to introduce as government to ensure that we maximise the opportunities that lie ahead. There's a fantastic concept there, initiative in Fexico, where Fexico is working with Kerry County Council, working with the Munster Technological University, and have established an innovation hub. And that innovation hub is working with new startup fintech companies, supporting them to grow and to scale. And I suppose they're learning from the global experience of Fexico and the people who are working with Fexico. And that innovation hub, in the last number of years since it was established, I think it was established just before COVID, so in the early 2020s, that has supported somewhere in the region of 450 to 470 new jobs created as a result of that initiative. So it was really good to be in Fexico to learn from their own experiences, but also to learn from the really positive work they're doing with other financial services companies in the region.
It certainly is, and we're very lucky, as you said there, to have the likes of Fexco and the RDI Hub here in Kerry as well, because they're really innovative. And I suppose, as you mentioned as well, Minister, Ireland, it is home to some of the world's largest international financial services companies, and it's important, I suppose, that that trend continues. Having met with the people down at Fexco now in Killorglin and listened, I suppose, to their concerns maybe and to the opportunities, as you mentioned as well, is it something now that the government is going to take action on and maybe try and come up with a plan to maybe tackle some of those challenges that are facing the industry?
Well, look, at like that part of it was consultation. We had a very wide range of public consultation open in relation to the Ireland for Finance strategy. That's now closed. We continue to meet companies like Fexco, key stakeholders, and bilateral meetings with a view to bringing forward a new Ireland for Finance strategy in quarter one of 2026. My determination is that that strategy will be laser focused on addressing the challenges that are facing the sector at the moment and introducing policies that will help realise the opportunities. Obviously, one of the key items that is on everybody's agenda is AI and how that is going to impact on this industry. it obviously offers threats, but it offers huge opportunities as well. These are some of the areas that we'll be working towards. The other big area is we know that we have a significant amount of capital being underutilized in Ireland at the moment. About 170 billion euro is sitting on low yielding deposit accounts. That's everybody's savings not working to the benefit for them. We want to introduce new incentives that will help people get a better return on their investment, but also will help that investment be put to good use in terms of being able to invest it in critical infrastructure. So it's a double win where the state will have the benefit of the investment on a longer term, but equally the saver will have the positive of a better return on their investment.
Yeah, certainly. And just before we finish up, I know you mentioned at the start there that we've seen changes, I suppose, in terms of credit unions, and they're now able to lend more to SMEs. That's important, isn't it? Because the credit unions, they do play a very important role to our local communities. And it's important, I suppose, that their powers maybe are increased and that they can offer more of those type of services to those who need it in their local communities.
But the credit union is the most trusted brand, I think, for 9 out of the last 10 years in succession. People have confidence, they have faith in their local credit union. The credit union has local knowledge. They're deeply enshrined within their community, and they know what business is good for that borrowing. So it is important now that they now have a greater capacity to lend into the SME sector. They have a greater capacity to lend into the mortgage market. That increases competition, and again, greater competition means a better service for the consumer. So it really is a very positive development that the central bank has increased the lending limits for both these critical sectors, the SME and the mortgage sector. That came in on the 30th of September this year. When I was in Kerry last week, I met Cara Credit Union in Killorgan. Now their intention is to roll out a new mortgage product that will be very attractive in the market. Again, supporting people into home ownership, which is something that is very, a very important policy from a government perspective also.
It certainly is. Well, Minister, thank you so much for taking the time to join me on the show this evening. It's been lovely to talk to you.
Thank you very much.